He's in open field, 20, 50, 10, 5, touchdown!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio.
Oh, we got it! On the run, 30, 25, 20, 50, 10, 5, touchdown!
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Fights and pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
And now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
Okay, we'll cut to the chase. It's a lot of things going on here. Number one, the league has announced, of course, Joe Hayden suspended, effective immediately, for four games. And so that commences and then ends after the Browns' October 7th game against the Giants. So October 8th, he's back. Yes, more, you know, pile on as far as the bad news, as if things weren't feeling kind of lousy around this place from yesterday's game, because they are. It is what it is. But that we knew that was coming, and that just came down from the league. So no surprise, and I guess we've already been, in my mind, in a frame of mind, anyone who's followed this team closely, we're all, which is what we all are, right, saying that, okay, what do they do? Well, that's where you rely on a Buster Screen. That's where you rely on a Trevin Wade. That's where you say your depth has to step up for this football team and do so in a big way. The next man up thing applies. Pat Shurmur is going to join the show. We spoke with Pat actually prior to this announcement. He has had nothing to say on it to the media since. And so it was something he was, I don't think, was going to address today. Whenever that does come up, he will. But it was right after he met with the media where this was not known at that point, and we did not get that word from the league up to that point. So it doesn't come up in that conversation at all. And as far as the whole show here, I mean, we're going to take a look, as we always do, at yesterday. So much to cover in that 1-point loss to the Eagles, 17-16, and all that went wrong for this team offensively. A lot that went right defensively, we know that. But the round table, we got that together. Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers, Bernie Kosar, all of us weighing in. And again, so much to pour through on that game. The 2-point conversion talk has been a hot topic. It's one of those great, you know, hindsight discussions. Why didn't, in a game like that ended with a 1-point loss, why didn't they go for two with as much time as they had left in the fourth quarter after DeQuell Jackson's interception return touchdown? And my answer is, and I agree with what the head coach said in my football timeline, that is an early point, way too early to think 2-point conversion, especially when you're ahead. And yeah, I know the offense was struggling, but I'm not seeing that as being the worst thing to happen. There were a lot of decisions and decision making in the course of that game that to me can be second guessed a lot more than that. That was the least in my mind as a problem for this team, as it turned out. We know what the result was, but I think it's later, as late as you can in the game, to go to the 2-point thing. All right, we've got much more for you. As I said, the head coach of the Browns, Pat Shurmur, is joining us, and we'll go over yesterday's loss in that season opener to the Eagles with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as you listen to ESPN 850 WKNR.
We're buying Emmy a Focus. But you and Bob have been doing so well.
Oh, she's 18, straight A's.
We promised, you know. How can any couple endure such turmoil? Don't risk it.
It's Liberty Ford. The hardest part is agreeing on color. The $169 a month on a new Focus, that's easy.
Oh, buying a car cannot be that easy.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, Home.
In the world of B2B commerce, a lot can happen between that first B and the second. That's why First Merit Merchant Services is ready for anything. With a full range of support services from fraud monitoring to chargeback mitigation, your business can easily grow and change and grow some more. And if you sign up now, we'll waive your setup fee too. For more information, call 877-507-9007. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
Did your day start out a little rough? Was it followed by a shave that was less than refreshing? Is the game far too close for comfort?
Have you got that all over edgy feeling? Dr. Hess can help with a full line of soothing udder ointment products, including Dr. Hess Bull Balm, a men's skincare product that soothes, refreshes, and moisturizes tough skin. Just the thing to put you back in the win column. Now available at Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
Hey Browns fans, Arby's wants you to win a ride to the Dog Pound. Stop into Arby's to enter to win a 2012 Ford Fiesta, plus four suite tickets and exclusive behind-the-scenes experiences for the Sunday, November 4th game against division rivals from Baltimore. For those that bleed orange and brown, visit your local Cleveland area Arby's restaurant for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Game ends September 28th, 2012. Void where prohibited. Open to legal residents of Ohio at least 18 years of age or older. Subject to official rules. Car courtesy of Liberty Ford. Sponsored by the Arby's Cleveland Co-op.
Welcome to Bonefish Grill.
And that is how I beat Mount Rushmore at a staring contest.
Midweek, an undiscovered island in between weekends. We're drawn in by the bowls at Bonefish Grill. But first, seek the shelter of a honey-kissed fresh apple martini. We start with Bang Bang Shrimp for $8.90. The Diablo Shrimp Fettuccine Bowl then ferries me through a river of deliciousness. The price of the trip, $13.90. Greeting us next, a bowl of shrimp and chicken pad thai. Asian rice noodles with the traditional pad thai sauce for $13.90. A delectable milestone in this odyssey. I start a message in a bottle. It reads, I'm here and I'm staying.
Join us at Bonefish Grill and enjoy a wood-grilled swordfish and pumpkin ravioli bowl topped with feta, crispy sage, and shallot brown butter, just $19.90.
Now that is a sword worth falling on. Bonefish Grill. Happiness here.
In Cleveland at the corner of Rockside Road and 77. Visit bonefishgrill.com for the location nearest you.
Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci with you. And this segment is brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. We're very pleased to have with us right now the head coach of the Browns, Pat Shurmur, making his regular Monday visit to the show. Coach, we know obviously how tough it is to experience that, and I'm sure a game like that, as much as you got to put it aside, some are a little harder to put aside than others.
The first game, because you put so much into it, that's kind of what you set your sights on is your first game, and you got all the work in the, of course, in the off season and training camp, and you get ready for the first opponent, and you see a tremendous effort. Really, the guys played hard.
Yeah.
I mean, on all sides of the ball, they played extremely hard. You know, there's lots of areas where we need to play better, and you know, I'm disappointed for the players because they put in a lot of effort and we didn't get the results we were looking for against, a super opponent.
So when you get that chance to give your team sort of that message of we've got to put this away, but and also as much as went wrong, you have to be proud of effort. So you sort of walk that balance, right? I mean,
right.
You can tell them some, you can give them some good feedback, but maybe the bottom line is, this is over. We've got to concentrate on Cincinnati, and that's it.
Yeah, and part of the message is you can't substitute great effort for lack of results. And I
right.
think that's they understand that. And this team has played hard for me. Law last year they played hard.
Right.
And they played hard. You know that was the same yesterday, of course. And now we just got to play better.
So let's start with playing better. Brandon Whedon struggled mightily. A guy who, through off-season, through training camp, for the most part, and even bits and pieces of what I took away from his three preseason games, didn't see signs of a game like that coming up in his first game. How surprised were you that it ended up being that much of a struggle for him?
Well, I think what we need to get is there needs to be more efficiency in terms of just the passing game in general. We had drop passes. There was times when they got pressure, although I mentioned, especially early in the game, I thought for the most part the pass protection was pretty good against a real good pass rush, you know, and then we just missed some throws.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a combination, and there's a lot of areas where every player out there can get better, and I think they will.
Can you how far will you go with the intricate details of mechanics, of those sorts of things? Is that the types of issues that you deal with after a game like that with a player, or what is the general focus of how you get him to focus on where he needs to improve?
Well, every player in every practice works on their fundamentals. that's just part of it. And when something happens, regardless of what position you play, you just go back and you work on the basics. It's very cliche, but that's the way it is, and that's always the case. And so that's why I don't want to overreact to it at this point.
Sure.
You work on the fundamentals each week and each day. And during the season, you put those fundamentals toward playing a specific opponent. And so that's what we'll do this week, getting ready to play the Bengals.
And because he's a rookie, even though he is an older rookie,
right,
is his confidence in any way a concern for you that he might dwell on this as much as you and the other coaches will give him that message to forget it and have a short memory or have selective amnesia? How do you get him out of that train of thinking and just so his confidence doesn't suffer?
Well, we take him through the process. And, you know, after the game, you watch the tape, you make the corrections, and then you move on. And I think that's the stage we're at right now. They're done watching the tape. We've kind of given him a little introduction to the Bengals. I'm sure he'll spend most of this evening watching them play on Monday Night Football. And he'll come back in here tomorrow morning. And even though it's an off day, he'll be in here and he'll be watching the tape and getting a feel for how they play defense. And then we'll put in a plan and we'll get to work.
Pat Shurmur, head coach of the Browns, joining us as he always does right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Brandon was not the only guy, as we mentioned, to have some issues offensively. Your passing game, your receivers need to do a better job of catching it, need to do a better job of getting open, need to do a lot of things that you've discussed. That, too, as a process, how do you address that in the course of this week and getting it turned around?
Well, we just go back to basics. You know, we got to get some work against bump and run. You know, I think that's the one thing young receivers got to get a feel for in regular season games. You know, they come in out of college where you see very little of that.
Right.
And that's a big transition for them because that's one of the two most important things for a receiver. It's number one, beat and bump and run, in the order of which it happens, you know, because that happens at the snap.
Sure.
And then you have to catch the ball. So if a receiver has to constantly work on those two phases of their game.
Trent Richardson, really, we talked about this, the effort that he gave was impressive for a guy who had missed all the time he missed, and he got a lot of work out there. Was it more work than you probably wanted them to have, A, just given what he had missed in time and coming off that knee surgery, and B, where do you see, because it looked like he just wasn't his full self in terms of, you know, not having that initial burst.
Well, I think one of the things I really appreciate about Trent is he's a hard guy to keep out of there. I was hoping he would get a half of the snaps, and he got about two-thirds of them, you know, and he's a hard guy to keep out of there. We primarily used him on first, second down, put Brandon in there on third down. And, you know, I think he, when he watches the tape, you know, there's attention to detail that can only be polished up by practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because he's missed some practice, some of those little things that maybe we as coaches see will get better. He'll get sharper with getting his foot in the ground and making those little subtle cuts. And he's a competitive guy. And I know this, he's going to be in here. He was in here early this morning. And he's going to be challenged in his own mind to make sure he gets better next week.
You mentioned your pass protection, and especially early on, was good. But as the game wore on, it was pretty evident the run blocking wasn't maybe as consistent as you would certainly like, and it looked like they had some issues there. How do you see, as a group, the line kind of addressing that? Is that blocking such a physical mindset thing? Can you just instill that more? What do you do to address that?
Well, there's fundamentals to blocking as well, obviously. And I think our guys got to go back and we just got to work on the details of it. Anytime you're blocking a run, there's tight ends involved. There's fullbacks involved. If you're running to the perimeter, of course, perimeter blocks. And so it's all coordinated.
Sure.
You know, Monday, everybody's giving praise and assigning blame. And I don't want to overreact on any of those areas because I think we just need to get better.
Sure.
And I think the encouraging thing for me to see is that, and I mentioned this to our local media today, that All the mistakes that I saw happen on the field on Sunday are correctable.
Right.
And I think that's the approach, and that's the starting point as we move forward. If you can see things out there that aren't correctable, then you're like, whoa, how do we get this fixed? Well, I don't think that's the case.
That's a great thing, because the point you're making is correctable means players capable of doing it the right way can do it.
Right.
If they're not correctable, what you're saying is they did it that way because they just maybe can't do it the right way.
Right.
And you don't have
it's
that.
It's not just players. It's coaches. It's the whole operation.
Yeah.
You know, there's things we can do to help them do their job better.
Sure.
The focus always is on the players, as it should be. Unfortunately, I think it's important that we don't forget that this is a team thing, and it involves, you know, the players and the coaches and the whole way we do business.
And the other thing not to forget is how well this defense performed. I mean, getting those turnovers, putting you in a position, frankly, to win the game, and with a lead late in the game and the great play that DeQuell Jackson made, but your young linebackers performed at a level that I don't think anyone, at least on the outside, could have expected. Maybe that's what exactly what you thought they would do. But talk about that. That defense really played at such a high level for you.
Yeah, I think so. And when you look at defensive football, it's like when you look at offensive, you know, you got to score points, which we didn't do enough of. And on defense, you know, Philadelphia is a big play team. They score lots of points.
Mm-hmm.
And we kept them off the board pretty well. And I think that's important. Our guys battled. We found a way to get pressure on Michael Vick. We hit him a few times and disrupted their passing game. I think they threw the ball 56 times.
Yeah.
And so, so that's good. Now we just, again, you know, I don't feel like it's a great effort wasted. I do think there's areas in there that we can get better as well, and specific things that Dick and the staff will be working on with the guys. And I think we as a team just got to put it together better so that we can go out and beat Cincinnati.
And that's what your next task is, to take on the Bengals next Sunday at Cincinnati. They play tonight against the Ravens. Will you spend some time watching Monday Night Football, knowing, I know full well, that your actual study and breakdown of this team is going to come from coaches tape, but talk about that process of tonight's game and how you'll watch that.
Yeah, we have all the information up, you know, to date, and then we'll work on that here until the evening. And then, of course, this will be one Monday Night Football game where we'll put special attention on the game.
Sure.
And that information will get to us quickly. We'll put it in the computer, and we'll be able to get to work on that tomorrow.
What kind of challenge do they present? First of all, say defensively. There's such a physical.
Well, I think they're a defense that they find a way to get pressure on you. They have certain things that they like to do. I think Mike Zimmer does a good job. It's an aggressive style. You know, it's a four-man front, much like the one we just faced. They're bigger up front. They're kind of more stout guys. And they play their cover schemes a little bit different. But we're anticipating, since it's the same defensive coordinator, we'll see much of the same stuff.
Sure.
And so that's what we'll get ready for. And then same on offense. You know, their offense is, they like to run the football and play action in. Of course, A.J. Green, and they've got weapons there, and they play pretty well.
Excellent. Coach, thank you so much for your time.
All right. Take care.
He is Pat Shermer, the head coach of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I really need a new car. Well, mine's only a two-seater, and I have three kids.
Are you sure that's a good reason?
Pretty sure.
But all the numbers, the decisions, the agony.
Not at Liberty Ford. I get top dollar for my trade-in, and right now I can lease the all-new 2013 Escape for only $249 a month.
Well, that's just too easy.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
Quaker. Steak & Lube has now opened their newest location in Lakewood. Enjoy famous wings, great food, and the best entertainment around. Check them out on Facebook for all the events and specials.
Great times, great food, too quick to Steak & Lube.
And he picked it off! Great interception!
Browns fans, unite! Single game and three game ticket plans are on sale now. Don't miss your chance to purchase tickets for all the exciting home matchups. Three game ticket plans include sold out games versus the Bills and Bengals or Steelers. Call now for the best available seats, including the club level, where fans can enjoy new food offerings from three of Cleveland's culinary stars. Call 440-824-3434 or visit clevelandbrowns.com today.
In the nation, we can't make traffic jams or love handles disappear, but we can eliminate deductibles. You'll get $100 off for every year of safe driving when you add Vanishing Deductible from Nationwide Insurance. We put members first because we don't have shareholders. Call 1-877-NATIONWIDE today.
Nationwide is on your side.
Optional feature subject to eligibility, underwriting guidelines, review, and approval. Max credit $500. Details and availability vary by state. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you expand to a new area.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
So your business can thrive.
Business forms for invoices.
Because at the end of the day, only one thing is really important.
More invoices.
So you go to the one place that has it all.
Staples.
And print it right.
Staples.
Staples. Right now, buy 250 business cards or postcards and get 250 free. Details in store or staples.com/250free ends 11/10/12. Staples. That was easy.
The new computer lab sure is popular, Shelley.
So I've heard. And I'm setting up four more stations next week.
When it comes to passion, Shelley tops the list. She heads the IT department for our local school system. Not long ago, she came to me and my team at Time Warner Cable Business Class with an idea. Let students take classes from any of the district's 10 schools without leaving their own classrooms.
After all, the more resources the kids have, the more they'll learn.
When I met with Shelley, we came up with a way to connect all the schools with an Ethernet solution. Now she can stream high-def video between locations. Who knows what Shelley will think of next? Helping students learn is Shelley's business. I'm proud she's made it my business, too.
To learn more, call 866-TWC4BIZ or visit twcbc.com. Time Warner Cable Business Class. You first, the technology follows.
Products and services not available in all areas. Some restrictions apply.
If you need a good lawyer, listen up. Use mine, Russo Rosalina. Hi, gang. Riz here for Russo Rosalina, general practice family law firm. Joe, Gabriella, and Basil have been doing it for years. Two locations, too. East Side, Richmond Town Square. West Side, Parmatown on Ridge. If you suffered a loss of a loved one, Russo Rosalina can handle the estate for you. Injuries, divorce, bankruptcy, wills, they do it. Go to RRLPA.com. That's RRLPA.com, Russo Rosalina.
Hi, this is Muhammad Masquire, and you're listening to the Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Roundtable time on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns. Doug Deacon, the color analyst of the Browns Radio Network. Tom Withers of the Associated Press. This segment driven by Liberty Ford. And we've got the roundtable assembled to talk about yesterday's 17-16 loss to the Eagles. Get right to it, Jim. I guess if we said that we thought this would be that kind of a game, a 1 point down to the last seconds game against the Eagles beforehand and a loss, we'd be saying, you know what, that's pretty good for a Browns team that has generated such low expectations, at least nationally.
Yeah, absolutely. And as the game unfolded, I mean, I thought that they were going to get out of there with a win, and because I thought it was a tremendous defensive performance that they were turning in. I mean, since they've come back in 1999, there haven't been many like that, and I thought that they were doing it right in front of our very eyes. Vic, I want to be honest with you, because this is an honest show. It's a round table. We got to lay it out.
Yes.
All right. I was not comfortable coming out of that preseason that quarterback had played enough. Mm-hmm. I really wasn't. I was, I know he played a little bit in Detroit. He played more in Green Bay. He did not finish the half against Philadelphia. McCoy finished the first half
right.
on that night at the stadium. He didn't play at all against Chicago. And I thought that if you're going to make a plan, that you're going to go with a rookie quarterback and so many other rookies around him, that you were going to use the four games to play him more. And, you know, I just could not answer. When people would say, is he going to be ready to play? I could not answer confidently and say, yeah, I think he's going to be ready to play.
A part of me says, what rookie would be? And we know the answer to the question now that RG3 had the game of his life,
right.
at least in his first game. But the other, all four of the rest of the rookies that started struggled. That doesn't make Browns fans or Brandon Whedon feel any better, or the coaches, I'm sure. But despite that, and as much as he struggled, Doug, in the preseason, I didn't think we'd see that kind of performance. That was still below even his worst moments of the preseason.
No, I think, you know, he wasn't on the same page with his receivers. I think early on he was more accurate than he was later on. And I don't know if it was a case of trying to overdo it. But there was a couple, you know, throws where the one that little, you know, hit him in the hands was intercepted. And, you know, Benjamin's got to fight for the ball. But with that said, you don't throw the ball, you know, where he threw it. I mean, you let Benjamin run or, you know, use his speed to, you know, run the cornerback. And, you know, no involvement by Little whatsoever. Ben Watson, of course, has missed all of training camp. And,
yeah.
you know, there was no chemistry. And I think that showed. And I think that's the only way you're going to get chemistry is playing together.
He's 100% right. And piggybacking off of Doug, I felt like somebody needed to make a play. And nobody was making a play, whether it was Little dropping the ball that Pat Shurmur said today hit him in the neck. Or, you know, the lack of a running game obviously hurt Whedon as well. You know, he didn't see Ben Watson on what could have been a huge play in the first half, you know, in the deep left flat.
Right.
So he didn't seem to see the field well. And I have to agree with Jimmy. I mean, if we're going to be, you know, full disclosure here, I didn't think he was ready either. I thought he should have played a lot more, particularly in that last preseason game.
And to add to that, you know, with the way training camp has been cut down now, you're cutting more reps out, too.
We're all in agreement on that. I think that there was a readiness question, but again, I wondered how ready, even a half or whatever it would have been against Chicago, how much that would have made a difference. Who knows? But here's the other part of this, guys. As a whole, we saw far too many familiar problems with this offense. We saw, as we say, passes being dropped, receivers either struggling to get open or not fighting for the ball. We saw an offensive line that couldn't get any push whatsoever. They did a little decent work with pass protection. But, Jim, the promise was that this offense would get better.
Right.
I do think they've done the right things in terms of adding that talent, but it does still make you, it gets stuck in your craw when you see the same thing.
You know, Vic, I'm going to go back to your good friend from Sirius NFL Radio, Pat Kerwin, and I listened to him the day he did the show here from Berea, and they brought their show to cover the Browns that day. And he, in wrapping up the Browns, and I throw this out to everybody, he said, I think they have a major problem. I don't think in press coverage their receivers can get off the line of scrimmage and get open.
Right.
Amen. Game, set, and match. Thank you, linesmen. Thank you, ball boys. That's it. And I think you're right. I mean, that was it yesterday.
It's the Roundtable. Jim Donovan, voice of the Browns. Doug Deacon, the Browns analyst of the radio network. And Tom Withers of the AP joining us here. Guys, we saw Trent Richardson look like a guy who definitely needed more time for conditioning, I think, to get himself kind of ready and you know, get into the game as a guy who had missed the entire preseason. So that was difficult. But his effort was there. Certainly his, you know, he was trying. I wonder the combination of that plus a line that, again, didn't always give him the holes. But where do you see that? Because I can only see that going uphill, you know, getting better, because he's just going to get more aerobic conditioning and more football conditioning.
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think you'll see a dramatic change in him this week as they get set for the Bengals. I think that's just going to get better and better. I mean, that's just reps and him getting out on the field. Imagine that, Doug, going out in your first game, and it's for real, and you're going to go up against the Philadelphia Eagles, who are really playing very, very well and have had the flame turned up, that they have to have an exceptional year by their owner.
Well, I think there's a confidence factor. If you don't get plays in and you don't, you know, have a feel for the game, you're just trying to get something positive. So you're running straight ahead. You're not looking for cutback lanes. You're not, you know, bouncing it to the outside.
Right.
You're just trying to make sure every play is positive. And, you know, other than the one where he turned Coleman into roadkill, you know, he really struggled.
You know, not to second guess, but maybe they did rush him too fast here, Vic, to be ready for this game. You know, in this, the brief times that we got to watch him last week out there,
I did notice Gary Brown, you know, quizzing him on the field, you know, what are you supposed to be running?
Right.
So, and I don't know how the week of practice went, but, you know, there may have been a rush to get him out there. And I can see why. I mean,
just
obviously he's a huge part of what this team is going to be going forward.
So, Doug, the offensive line, though, a big story on those struggles in the running game in particular. It was familiar because we saw only a couple of weeks back that Eagles defensive line, those stout and fast and athletic guys, having the edge over the Browns blockers. But where do you see this going, with especially with the guards and their play going forward?
Well, I first off, you know, the wide nine makes it really tough to get outside. You know, I think you got to run crackbacks, and you know, Lord knows we do have the receivers to crack back. They're good sized guys.
Yeah.
But I just think it's the timing and the chemistry of playing together, where you know Richardson gets a feel, and you know sets up blocks. You know, instead of you know, it was almost like he just wanted to get to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah,
you know, and granted, this is a quick defense, so you can't dance in the backfield. But with that said, you know, good running backs will set up, you know, the blocks for you.
You know, the other thing, too, is the next step for him, I think, will be he's got to make some people miss.
I totally agree.
You know, and he will. But,
right.
I mean, yesterday,
and
I think it was a straight line, and I think he's such a powerful and low center of gravity that he can move the pile a great deal.
And I kept waiting for them to get him the ball out in space, Nick. I mean, there were I know they tried that one screen to him that I believe he dropped, but I kept waiting for, like, a swing pass or something just to get him outside and around the corner. But as Doug said, it's tough to get out there with that wide nine.
I think the good news is that's going to improve. That area, that the running game in particular, but I think Richardson overall, it'll get better. Talking about something that did happen in a good way, the way this defense played, particularly the way these young linebackers played, and the shame of this game is that you get a defensive performance like that and you can't celebrate it with a win.
Oh, I thought those kids were a terrific. Wow, I mean, that they find these kids, and, you know, you wonder, are they just preseason wonders? I mean, because you get that kind of play sometimes where a guy lights it up in the preseason, and then you put him out there on the first Sunday of the regular season, and, you know, he just doesn't belong. But L.J. Ford and Robertson were all over the field. I give the kid Ford a lot of credit. He stood up in front of his locker, you know, after the game when he didn't make the interception, and he explained the situation. But, boy, I mean, I'm wondering, did they find linebackers here? I mean, you would think that we'd be talking about, you know, the guy that was the number 3 overall pick and the guy that was the number 22 pick.
We're
talking about two guys that weren't drafted.
The thing is, you know, they did give up 456 yards, but, you know, that number is obscured by the fact that they got the 5 takeaways. And, you know, that's something that this defense was missing last year. And if you can get that, you know, and hopefully the offense gets in sync, then, you know, you'll get more of a production from the offensive side.
I'm not sure I've ever seen Michael Vick look as bad. And I think it's a credit to the pressure that they had on him from the first snap. I thought they did a really nice job, you know, flushing
nice
him out.
Team.
And, you know, he had 4 picks and he could have had 7.
You know, Vic, Doug told a great story. Howard Mudd, his old line coach, now the offensive line coach with Philadelphia, said.
He said, make sure you tell Dick Duran that was a heck of a game plan because he had it stymied.
This is how the two of us work. We just, I'll lay it out there, and he hits it out.
He is Jim Donovan. He is Doug Deacon, the fine pair from the Browns Radio Network, and Tom Withers from AP, the Roundtable. Guys, we'll reconvene on Friday, and we'll talk about the Cincinnati game.
Okay, of course, if I wasn't here, he would have stole my line.
Absolutely,
No game balls this week, but I think maybe Deacon and Donovan deserve one for beginning their 14th season together here
Thank
in Cleveland.
You.
I mean, for I like all that. The turmoil and turbulence over the last 13 years, here's two guys we can count on.
Yeah, by the way, you brought up the new rule. I'm only going to give them out after wins.
I like that.
This works.
Yeah, we had to give one to Dick Goddard because Dick Goddard was a Brown stat man for about 50 years.
Right.
And,
I think Truman was in office when he started.
Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I'm getting a new truck today.
Yours is fine. Why would you put yourself through that?
I do it every 3 years, lady.
No.
Yeah. I lease from Liberty Ford every time. And right now, I can get a new F-150 Super Cab 4x4 for just $199 a month.
Well, that just sounds way too easy.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
Take time, great food, get to quick and save.
Steak & Lube has now opened their newest location in Lakewood. Enjoy famous wings, great food, and the best entertainment around. Check them out on Facebook for all the events and specials.
Great times, great food, too quick to Steak & Lube.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use Mobile Deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Hey Browns fans, Arby's wants you to win a ride to the Dog Pound. Stop into Arby's to enter to win a 2012 Ford Fiesta, plus four suite tickets and exclusive behind-the-scenes experiences for the Sunday, November 4th game against division rivals from Baltimore. For those that bleed orange and brown, visit your local Cleveland area Arby's restaurant for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Game ends September 28th, 2012. Void where prohibited. Open to legal residents of Ohio at least 18 years of age or older. Subject to official rules. Car courtesy of Liberty Ford. Sponsored by the Arby's Cleveland Co-op.
Gillingham Ford celebrating 55 years in the car business, and they want to continue creating the best car buying experience in Northeast Ohio. They'll make your next new car purchase fair, open, and honest. They guarantee it. Ford provides the best U.S.-made products on the road, like the all-new 2013 Ford Escape and the 2013 Ford Fusion. Gillingham provides the very best deals. Get your next car based on your needs, not what some dealer has the most of. Let Gillingham Ford put you in that new Ford today. Check them out. BobGillinghamFord.com. Stop in and see why Gillingham is truly the home of the real deal. 8383 Brook Park Road in Parma. That's between Ridge and Tiedemann off I-480. Whether you're West Sider, East Sider, Gillingham Ford always going to be on your side. Stop, call, or find them on the web. You'll see why Gillingham Ford is truly home of the real deal. And congratulations, Gillingham Ford, celebrating 55 years in business and in the community. Gillingham Ford.
Hi, this is DeQuell Jackson. Now back to Vic Carucci on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
No, D-Jax, great play. A bit of better flip into the end zone. True highlight of that opener. Painful pretty much everywhere else, but that part, that whole defensive effort, amazing stuff. And we thank you that you're hanging out with us on this Football Monday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Browns fans unite. The single game and three game ticket plans are on sale now. Don't miss your chance to purchase tickets for all the exciting home matchups. Three exciting, they come down to the last second like that one yesterday. I want it exciting with a different ending, but three game ticket plans include sold out games versus the Bills and Bengals or Steelers. Note that. Call 440-824-3434 or visit clevelandbrowns.com today.
Bernie, oh yeah, how you can throw. Yeah.
Joining us, as he always does, the one and only Bernie Kosar. And Bernie, before we get into the game, I just want to say again how fun it was to have you here through the weekend, the festivities that you enjoyed with the Browns backers, and then, well, going back to our remote on Friday, the Browns backers, and then having the co-captaincy with Webster Slaughter. That had to be great to be reunited with him.
Wow, it really was. And thanks, Vic, by the way. The Browns and you guys and we all. It was a really enjoyable weekend. To have my daughter up there with me, to have her experience it. You know, she was watching on the field yesterday for really the first time in her life to see actual regular season football. And when you're on the field and up close like that, right, and to see the speed and the violence and the contact and the collisions, it was a whole new appreciation, I think, from her for what her father used to do. Right. And then just for the weekend of Friday, we started together out in Strongsville,
yeah, PNC,
at PNC, and we had the show out there on remote. And to do that, and all the fans that came up, I mean, hey, we even had a pet Bernie Kosar pig. Who showed up for the
awesome.
To do that this weekend. So for that, and then over Saturday to be at the stadium. I think it was at the stadium from like 2 o'clock to 8:30, just signing autographs with fans and with the Team Bernie stuff, and then with the Browns backers and some overlapped, and then to culminate it with the game Sunday. Yeah, I know we're feeling bad that we didn't get the W, but if we're being objective, the way we played yesterday, there was a lot of encouraging things yesterday.
Well, okay, then let's start there with what did encourage you, because I can go over the list of things that have a lot of other folks maybe discouraged or certainly not feeling great in the aftermath. What encouraged you?
Again, it's easy. Again, it's almost like what we were talking about the trying to live and think positively.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to the negative things, and they're pretty blatant what some of those were. But in terms of the positives, I mean, if you were to win, if Saturday afternoon, you could have said, Michael Vick is going to get destroyed and look like a rookie. That Fort, Robinson, DeQuell Jackson, Joe Hayden could all get interceptions. T.J. Ward could have 8 tackles, a forced fumble, a sack, a couple quarterback hits. That the defensive line in the front 7 can manhandle the Philadelphia Eagles, we all would have wanted to probably lock me in a loony bin if I'd have made that type of prediction. I mean, so to have seen that evolve, and again, I'm trying to be positive with it, but that is accurate. I mean, there was a whole game, and even though the last drive that took the 6 minutes, the 91 yards, God, they earned. Philadelphia earned every inch of that drive. And I don't want to sound like sour grapes, but there were some debatable calls on the fumble and things like that within that drive that just didn't go our way. So from a special teams, from a defensive perspective, that was as dominant a performance as we've seen in a long time with young guys that, you know, most people didn't know. Heck, I did the games this preseason, and those guys changed some numbers on me, and I was kind of looking at my cheat sheet to see who it was.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go with you there. I think this defensive effort was amazing. Folks could point to 400-plus yards by the Eagles, but that does not tell the story of what took place between that's what took place between the 20s, what took place in the red zone, what took place in critical areas where there were turnovers and the stops that this defense made. Yeah, you can't do much better than that. And the attempt was there to carry this team on a day when the offense was struggling horribly. You just could see it building and building among the DeQuell Jacksons and the T.J. Wards and the Joe Haydens to take it on their shoulders.
Yeah, and again, if I can go out on a tangent here and give a shout-out, if the fans and people and myself don't give tribute to Dick Geron, the defensive coordinator, and how blessed and fortunate we are to have him on our side, for him to be able to once again figure out these things and give that type of performance. If I can give Mr. Haslam one bit of advice, it'd probably be to give Dick Geron a lifetime contract, because that's somebody very fortunate to have within your organization who could figure out and analyze young players and develop them and come up with a scheme. It was, for me, from the X's and O's standpoint, to watch the way he calls a game and mixes up his coverage, his fronts, his pass rush techniques, and the games that they run up front. It's a lot of fun, and it puts a huge amount of duress on the front 5 of an offensive line, and Philadelphia did not have an answer for what he was doing yesterday.
Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does, right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Bernie, we know, of course, what the real problem areas were with this team. I mean, the offense in general, but in particular, Brandon Whedon looking every bit the rookie quarterback and clearly playing the worst football that he's demonstrated, I think, since he set foot on a practice field in the offseason. I saw nothing like this coming around the bend. And, you know, you talk about what sort of predictions one would make before the game where people at least would have thought you were wondered a question. Those who saw Brandon on a day-to-day basis, as I did and as you mostly did through this, through this summer, I just that blew me away. I didn't think the kid was going to struggle, or you know, the older rookie was going to struggle as much as he did.
Well, again, I spoke with Brandon a little bit about it, and I like his, you know, owning up and manning up to the issue. I had a fly this morning to South Florida, and I'll be going to the funeral tomorrow up in Baltimore. They're saying the same thing about Tannehill today here in South Florida with his interceptions. Andrew Luck threw three interceptions yesterday. Russell Wilson couldn't figure it out in Seattle himself. And then the guy I love, Robert Griffin, he had a fantastic day yesterday. About 20% of the rookie quarterbacks were successful. 80% had issues yesterday. That would tend to probably be in line with NFL statistics. It's the one game, it's the first game for a rookie quarterback. And then again, those are things that you, how you handle adversity, how you handle yourself, how you believe in yourself, it's imperative to moving forward.
Okay, let's drill into that a little bit, because that's the part that we need your quarterbacking expertise on. What you saw of him yesterday that we're on, and this wasn't every bit of it on him, as bad as he played, there were others. Receivers didn't provide the best help in the world. There was no running game to speak of at all. So a lot of those things contributed. But of the technical, mechanical, physical things that you saw Whedon do, the misfires that you saw on multiple occasions, Bernie, where does the correction start? How do you go about it to get it as right as it can be, as it can be, before the Cincinnati game next week?
Well, again, not wanting to be a quarterback apologist and not trying to be his marketing agent, but we use the phrase a lot, where quarterbacks were victims or beneficiaries of the guys around us. He certainly didn't get, and I'm not trying to cast blame on other people, but he did not get any help from lots of other people himself. A lot of drops, again, the interception inside the red zone were dropped and knocked up in the air with Little. I thought Trent Richardson played a phenomenal game and only averaged 2 yards a carry. There were no holes there. He was left out on an island. Protection at times was not there. So there's plenty of blame, I think, to go around. And the improvement needs to come from everybody. And it's what's beautiful about the NFL and football. You really need everybody doing just their job on a play to make it successful.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And Bernie, as we talk about the rest of the offense, you touched upon the receivers, just a familiar problem of struggling to catch the football. And, you know, as I want to believe that that's been addressed with the infusion of some new talent, seeing what a Josh Gordon was able to do quite a bit again in practice, Travis Benjamin, but none of that showed up. And we saw the familiar issues with Greg Little struggling. And in general, especially the young receivers, and Pat Shurmur talked about this, bump and run coverage, you know, struggling really to get into their routes, all of those things. Where is the hope in all that? Where does that get
back? That's the thing. It's the NFL. You're going to get bump and run coverage. You're going to get press coverage. I used to actually talking to myself about this as to how it's a sign of – I used to look at it as a sign of disrespect that they think a quarterback and receiver and a little defensive back could get up in his face and then completely negate the passing game. It has to almost be a personal challenge to beat that within a quarterback and a receiver, to take advantage of that and to look forward to that and to wish for that. And yesterday, Philadelphia, who has excellent cornerbacks, they're able to shut things down. You know, Josh Cribbs, you know, has that nice little push-off move that he subtly is able to get away with, you know, and kind of create that separation from the defensive back when the ball's about to get there. Learning how to create a little separation, how to get distance away from the defensive back, it's imperative. But being that most of the receivers are so young, it takes a little bit of time. And it's funny kind of being with Webster over the weekend. He had some of the best moves ever against bomb coverage, press coverage.
Right.
But it took them a little bit of time to get it. So there's no question the Browns, Coach Shurmur, the receivers, they're working on how to actually create that separation, but you must create that separation against press coverage to get those completions.
Bernie, great stuff as always, and we will catch up with you again, of course, and thanks again, my brother.
Sounds good, man.
He is Bernie Kosar, the one and only, joining us as he always does right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We're buying Emmy a Focus.
But you and Bob have been doing so well.
She's 18, straight A's.
We promised, you know. How can any couple endure such turmoil? Don't risk it.
It's Liberty Ford. The hardest part is agreeing on color. The $169 a month on a new Focus, that's easy.
Oh, buying a car cannot be that easy.
Hey, Browns fans. Your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your ways. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game days. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings, too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources in the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like mobile deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And virtual wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use mobile deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
If you're hosting an event this football season, then you need Hughes Event Production Services. Hughes Event Production Services is the area's largest rental and staging company. Whether it's a TV for your watch party, a stage for your tailgate concert, or anything in between, Hughes can get you what you need for your event. ESPN Cleveland uses Hughes, and so should you. So get to Hughes for your event needs today. For more information, call 216-361-4600 or go to Hughes.com.
It's just an old ball, really. Nothing more. We owned it and shared it. We prayed it would come to us. And we wanted to give it away. We have watched it weather storms and bask in the sun. And it's always right here.
This ball is
in our hands. Cleveland Indians, celebrating tradition.
First Energy Solutions is proud to power Ohio. And to say thanks, we're giving away $1 million in prizes. Enter at thanksamillionohio.com for a chance to win money for you, your schools, and your business. And find out how you can also save on electricity for years to come. Go to thanksamillionohio.com to enter and learn about our money-saving plans. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. Game ends October 31st, 2012. Prizes and donations collectively total $1 million. See complete official rules at thanksamillionohio.com. Sponsored by First Energy Solutions at FES.com.
I'm Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. The last time you heard a home alarm siren go off, did you do anything? Sirens are so commonplace, they're ignored. The best way to protect your house is with the voice of a live person, which is why nothing's more effective than Alarm Force's live two-way voice monitoring. With Alarm Force, you get no charge live two-way voice and just $25 per month for monitoring.
Call 1-800-267-2001. Alarm Force!
Ohio's best choice for home security.
Ugh, I think I got a cold.
Well, it's going around.
It wasn't going around, it was coming straight at me.
Like it had runny nose radar?
There was some runny nose radar, a sinus sneak attack, and an all-out congestion blitz.
Kaboom!
I've been hit!
We've got a man down.
Wait, how are you still up at Adam?
Target Pharmacy.
Target Pharmacy?
Target Pharmacy.
Target Pharmacy. Swing by today for a daily dose of cough and cold counterattack.
Thanks for being part of this Football Monday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. This Ask Vic segment, driven by Liberty Ford. You submit your questions to the Browns official Facebook Twitter pages, the Browns Daily Twitter page, Browns_daily. You can email me at daily@clevelandbrowns.com. And send in your voicemails to 855-363-DAILY, 855-363-2459. Fred, via email, he asks, why for the light of day will the Browns not give Colt McCoy the opportunity to run that offense with a healthy first team? He's never had that opportunity. I think he deserves it, and I think most of the Browns fans believe that. We are far from being sold on Brandon Whedon, Fred says. I'm not sure I agree that, today, your most Browns fans feeling that way about McCoy, probably right, because it's the day after a dreadful showing by the rookie, no doubt. And that is what happens in this league. The backup becomes the most popular guy when the starter struggles. And I think, first of all, to your question, it's not happening. And Pat Shurmur reinforced it today with his comment that Brandon Whedon's the starting quarterback. And he's staying with that, and I get that. You don't make the decision to go with Brandon Whedon and then after one poor performance, pull him and put the other guy in. It doesn't and shouldn't work that way. Now, I'm not saying he's got this job, you know, forever as a starter. He doesn't. No starter does at any position. One of two good, you know, a good thing could happen is he's a starter until he retires or he struggles, gets hurt, whatever might happen, and then you have a replacement. That's how we know how this game works. But I don't think putting McCoy in is a wise way to go until you see this guy work his way out of the funk that he got himself into yesterday. I don't think that's a terminal situation for what Brandon Whedon did. I do agree, you know, the improvement can be made and it can be made in reasonable amount of time. And by reasonable, I mean, you know, the signs of it have to start, must start Sunday. I'm with you on that. Joe, via email, while I understand the need to try and develop a positive take on yesterday's game, how can the Browns defense, he's talking about something I wrote for ClevelandBrowns.com, my final thoughts for the game, be described as stellar or, quotes, a game for the performance for the ages? When it gave up 456 yards, the worst in the league except for New Orleans giving up 464. You are masking even more serious problems on this team when you try and reinforce the notion that this defense was outstanding. Yards given up don't always turn into points, as evidenced by yesterday's game, but over the course of the season, they do. Joe. Yeah, between the 20s, you give up a lot of yards. But when you don't allow the team to score, that is the number one thing. And when you force turnovers and get a score from turnovers, that's exceptional. The four interceptions, you could say, well, it's Michael Vick playing terribly. The Browns defense, and you heard Bernie talk about it, we talked about it on the roundtable, did a whole lot to force those errors. And the containment they had on Vick, it was the ideal approach. Keep him in the center of the pocket and play right into his weakness, which is that he will throw inaccurately, that he will make those mistakes if you push that. Push him into the middle and don't let him, you know, get outside. Contain him. And the defenders, those young linebackers, especially this was a young linebacking group. This was a group working without the help of an offense, pretty much. Okay? That's stellar defense. That is a great performance. You heard Jim Donovan say it, too. As good as any as he's seen since the return of the Browns in 99. James from email, Mr. Carucci, he says, oh, please don't call me Mr. Makes me feel old. As an out-of-town Browns fan, I cannot stress how important your daily show is. For us, it's informative, very insightful, so thank you. And thank you, James. But I have to ask two questions. I know it's the first game, but the announcers told us they saw the Browns run that pass to Owen Marisic in practice, and he kept dropping the ball. He's talking about the Dick Stockton crew that was at the game, John Lynch for Fox. So they tried it. It didn't work. He points that out. Secondly, and most important, I know it's just the first game, but Brandon Whedon was awful. Kept missing open receivers. I have seen other rookie quarterbacks, and they don't miss wide open receivers continuously. They certainly don't fumble on routine handoffs. Throughout the preseason, numerous people saw, you know, the struggle. Okay, so he said, I'd appreciate your honest answer. My honest answer is what I've been saying. On Whedon, definitely, you know, that is a discouraging performance, but I'm not discouraged to say that it can't get better. And on Owen Marisic, And Pat Shermer addressed this too. There were multiple problems that made that play an abomination. It wasn't just Owen Marisic, and it was the decision to throw to him and perhaps not to somebody else on the play. I hated it as much as you did. And I don't know that it's a simple case of just saying, which a lot of people want to say, just change people. No, how about get better execution with the people you have? And that's really the route you have to go. I'm not, you know, let's not blow things up after one game, which I know a lot of people want to do. Catch your breath, sleep on it, and let's see where we go from here, okay, after one game. All right, we want to thank Pat Shermer. We want to thank Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, and Tom Withers. We want to thank Bernie Kosar. I want to thank Drew Boatner, my outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale. Buckeye Roundtable next. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.